It's verses 1 to 9. It's on page 1145, if you picked a Bible up on the way in. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building.
So our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 37. If you've got a Bible, page 969. So here, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. You have heard, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do sit down. And if you did get a Bible, you'd might like to turn back to 1 Corinthians, because that's where I'm going to go this morning. Sylvester would have liked me to preach on Matthew chapter 5. But frankly, covering murder, anger, adultery, divorce, and oaths in 20 minutes was beyond me. And besides, 1 Corinthians 3 rarely gets preached on. It's not a passage that we speak on very often in church. And so Corinth is where I'm going, not the mount in the background. That's not the Sermon on the Mount place. That is Corinth and the ruins of the city, which Paul visited. And the background of the passage that we heard read, Matthew 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 9, it comes in chapter 1 and verse 12. Some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas, which is Peter. Still another, I follow Christ. Paul has heard there are divisions among them. The congregation is split. And in a way, it's not that surprising when we look at the church, because we know that there was a big social mix in the church in Corinth. There were Jews and Greeks and slaves and free, rich and poor alike. And so sometimes at communion, the rich were coming with big picnic hampers full of wonderful, lush food and imbibing far too much, while the poor amongst them had very little to bring, and so they were going hungry. And the religious differences as well of people from different religious backgrounds. But also, the churches in Corinth, and I've read quite a bit about this, and I'm still slightly confused, but it seems to me from the New Testament that they were meeting in several different houses. So it wasn't, they didn't have a church building, people met in houses. But it seems that in Corinth there was more than one house church, more than one church where that was gathering together to worship on a Sunday. And so that would have also fragmented the church, because, you know, they do things differently from us and we don't get on with them and so forth, things like that. So there are splits going on. And of course, it's right that the church is so mixed, that they're rich and poor, male and female, Jews and Greeks. That's good. And one of the things that I love about St. Paul's is the diverse social mix that we have here on a Sunday. It's what the gospel's all about. But it does lead to tensions, or it can lead to tensions. So Paul says to them, I couldn't address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you weren't yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. And this is biting irony. You know, we read it in a nice, civilized tone. But actually, they think they're spiritual. This is the thing about the Corinthian church. If you read 1 Corinthians, they think, wow, we've got all these amazing gifts. Oh, we're incredible. You know, we do healing and tongues and prophecy. Oh, we're just the bee's knees. And we've got wisdom. You know, we've got real wisdom. And Paul comes to them and say, you think you're so spiritual? Well, I can't give you deep teaching. I have to give you baby food. I have to give you milk because you're really not quite there yet. Why not? Well, he says, here's the proof. There's jealousy, there's quarreling among you. You're showing that you still belong to the world. You're not spiritual, you're acting like mere men. For when you say, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? Paul says this division shows that they are not as spiritual as they think they are. And it seems to me that's very relevant still to the church today. One friend of mine went as vicar to a church. For obvious reasons, I won't name him or the church. And he discovered that the curate and the church warden had not been speaking to each other for 2 years. Literally, had not been speaking to each other because they'd fallen out over something. He goes, this is appalling. You know, how can you be team? How can you work together in this kind of situation? Another friend of mine left college and went to be a curate in a training post. And found when she got to the church, there were two factions in the church over some split that occurred years before. And this half wouldn't get on with this half. And if they went to a meeting, they wouldn't go to a meeting. You know, it was just appalling. And the vicar said, well, I don't know what to do about it, so just let it be. This is the church today. I'm not taking these stories from long ago and far away. These are colleagues who are currently in ministry and jobs that they've gone to within the last few years. So it's just the same in the church today. We need to hear this message. Now, I don't think it's true here. When I came, I think there was a little bit of, I'm for Henry White, I'm for Ray de Villar. A little bit of that. But I don't think that that is still the same now. And there was a bit of, oh, they go to 6:30. Oh, they're a 9 o'clocker. In a kind of disparaging sort of tone. You know, we are the proper service. But I don't sense so much of that now. But Paul says we must not look down on or disparage our fellow Christians. We must not form cliques or think that we are better than others in the church. Henry planted, Ray watered, but God made it grow, to quote Paul. Neither Ray nor Henry nor I are anything, says Paul, but God. God is his church, his people. It's not my church, St. Simon's. It's not the PCC's church, although sometimes they like to think it is. It's God's church. And it's not, and again, this is not a problem we have at St. Paul's, but in some churches, it's not just Mrs. Smith's church who gives £200,000 for an extension as long as it has her name over it. You know, people like to own the church. But it's not our church, it's God's church. Paul says, we leaders, are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Not, of course, talking about a building. They didn't have a church building. But the spiritual building, the temple that God is building, stone upon stone. And we have to remember that, that it's always God's church, God's people. And I need to remember that, and those of us who work for the church, whether as administrators or clergy, or indeed in church officers in the hierarchy, need to remember, because the temptation is always, the pull is always towards organisation and institution. That's the way it is. What's the Church of England? Well, here we have a nice, neat diagram showing from the Archbishop down to Peter Clark. And Ruth Roos is somewhere up at the top and off a little side branch. We tend naturally to be sucked into committees and coordinators, into paperwork and publicity, into buildings and budgets. That's the way things are. That's the pressure of the world upon us. But we continually have to fight back and say, it's God's field, it's God's building. We are fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building, God's people, God's temple. And that's why, one of the reasons why, I am so passionately committed to keeping this idea of the DNA of the church's discipleship, outreach, and fun before us. Because that reminds us what it's all about. It's about, Paul says, sharing the good news with others, spreading the seed. It's about watering the plants and helping them to grow. And it's about being the people of God together. It's not about the committees and the budgets and the paperwork and the organization and the structure. Those things are important, because they need to happen. But they are not the heart. They are not the point. They are just aids to help us be the people of God and grow as the people of God. Growing the kingdom of God in this place. So I think Paul has a very pertinent word, a very relevant word to us today, to remind us what the church is and what we are here for and the unity that he wants us to have in our midst. But I think there's also another way in which Paul's words are relevant and also challenging to us. Because remember what I said, that I believe that there were different house churches in Corinth. They were all Christ's people. They were all the people of God, the kingdom of God, the church of God. But they met in different places. And there was this temptation, oh, they do, them, you're not sure about them. And if you look at Kingston, isn't that the case today? Oh, I'm a Baptist. Oh, I'm an Anglican. I'm a Roman Catholic. They're not like us. St. Luke's, no, are they in the Church of England? And at St. Luke's, they're saying, St. Paul's, are they in the Church of England? And we have these divisions among us. And just to tell you a couple of stories, Mark Twain said, he put a dog and a cat in a cage together as an experiment. And in time, they managed to get along all right. Then he added a bird, a pig, and a goat. They got along too, fine, after a few adjustments. Then you put in a Baptist, a Presbyterian, and a Catholic, and soon there wasn't a living thing left. Or John Coles, leader of New Wine, told a story that he was talking to an African pastor who said the first Christians had come to his village and they'd shared the gospel and they'd founded the Church of Jesus Christ. A few years later, another group of missionaries arrived and they opened the true Church of Christ a little way down the road. Another few years later, a third group of missionaries arrived and they set up the only true Church of Christ. It's funny, but it's tragic. And we know it's all too true. And I don't want us to have that attitude here in St. Paul's. I don't want us to foster or allow that attitude to develop. And that's why we work together with churches together in Kingston. That's why we work together with other churches in New Wine, and also in the deanery, but that hasn't got a logo, so I couldn't put it on the screen. So yesterday, we had a training morning, hearing from God. It was lovely to see the church so full, lots of people, and not just people from St. Paul's. There were people from, I wasn't sure if it was four or five other churches, quite a large number of them, came to share in that morning together, because we do these things together. The week before, a number of us went to a welcoming evening put on by churches together. It wasn't a great evening, but the idea was it was an evening put on by churches together. We come together to help each other, resource each other. On Good Friday, we will have a walk of witness down in the town centre as churches together in Kingston. Next Sunday morning, I'm preaching at King's Church, which is great. I'm really grateful for the invitation. Martin Hislop, although their churchmanship is so different from ours, Martin Hislop from St. Luke's has preached here at a 9 o'clock service. I've preached at St. Luke's. Didn't know quite what I was doing, where I was going, why they were waving incense over me, but I was glad to be invited, and I threw myself into it wholeheartedly because we are to be church together. During my sabbatical, other clergy from other local churches are coming to help us by taking services when I'm not here. Jonathan Wilkes from All Saints, Clive Laker from St. George's, Tolworth, and others from other churches as well. This is what it means, not disparaging other churches, not looking down on other churches. As a child, I remember, we competed as churches together in Sevenoaks, where I grew up. We enjoy, as a church, good relationships with our neighbours. We need to foster those. And you and I, and here's the challenge, need to repent of wrong attitudes that we have had and may still have at times. So it seems to me that Paul's words speak to us as a congregation. They speak to us as St. Paul's. They speak to us individually and to our town. But there is also, and I can't miss this out, a little personal application, which is perhaps the most challenging of all. And that is, it applies to me personally. Division and disunity start in the heart. And so I come back to Matthew's gospel, and Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Jesus says, if you're coming to communion, that's our parallel, and you remember that someone has something against you, that you've upset someone, that you've got an issue, someone that has an issue with you, don't go and take communion, but first be reconciled. Some people hate the peace, but it's a wonderful illustration, an acted out parable of the fact that we are to be one. So we go and shake hands and we say, peace be with you. May there be peace between us. May there be nothing which comes between us, because we are brothers and sisters in the name of Christ, and there must be nothing that comes between us. We must ask forgiveness. We must make sure that there are no grudges. So, Paul says, to be spiritual, to be grown up, we need to be one. We need to be at one with one another. So use the prayers as Steve leads them, or indeed the quiet during communion, to repent if you need to say sorry to God for things that have come to mind while I've been speaking. And use the peace to show that we are at one with another. God's field, God's building, God's temple, God's people.